So have you seen Zeitgeist Addendum? That's the new buzzword on the street, isn't it? Everyone's talking about it. It's been just running through my inbox over and over and over again. It's just endless how many people want us to see Zeitgeist Addendum. Now, honestly, at first I was kind of, jealous of Zeitgeist. Because being an independent producer of films and media on Google Video, I was a little jealous of how much attention Zeitgeist had received. Here I'd been putting this out, and I thought that perhaps, you know, my knowledge wasn't too different or it's dissimilar for sure, but I felt like my information was just as important and well-made as Zeitgeist, and I couldn't understand why they would have 300,000 hits in their first week, and I'm still 3 years trying to get 1,000 or 100,000 hits out of my video. I was a little jealous. I guess I don't need to be, now that we've started to discern the truth of the Zeitgeist movement. It's curious, you know, it'd be much easier if I were a Christian. I could just come out here on my soapbox and say, look, here's Luciferian agenda, follow Christ. Simple enough. But for me, it's not that simple. It's not that easy to just simply state these things. I myself am not a Christian. I have not accepted any religion as truth, and I see a lot of it as mind control. So, as we looked at the Zeitgeist movement, the Zeitgeist films, I found, very quickly that they were based out of the Luciferian theosophy agenda. Looking into it, you'll find very easily at first they are there to state the ideas. So now I'm talking about the first Zeitgeist film, that all of the crucified saviors, these numerous crucified saviors that all have the same attributes, all born of a virgin, all born on the 25th of December, all crucified with thieves, and so on and so on. Now, I do own the World's 16 Crucified Saviors by Kersey Graves and Christianity Before Christ. And it is a very interesting book put out in 1875. Now, when we start to look into the Theosophical Society and the Rosicrucians, and, they're a little bit older, but the Theosophical Society at themselves, back in the late 1800s, have started to put out books, numerous books, such as H.P. Velazquez's The Secret Doctrine or Isis Unveiled. And then, of course, Alice Bailey in her treatise on white magic or the externalization of the hierarchy. all of these books coming out and coming to light in the late 1800s. They pretty much list the exact same attributes and highlight Bailey's externalization of the hierarchy in this zeitgeist addendum. I have numerous notes on this. It was when they first started showing this Venus project that I was clued in. I was like, oh, okay, all right, I get it. Now I see why they get so much promotion. As the Venus, of course, is Lucifer, and so we could easily call this the Lucifer Project. So let's just have an overview real quick of what we're looking at before I get into more of the details of the Theosophical Luciferian movement and what that all means and how it affects us. So first of all, let's just look at this idea of a technological society. Now, when I was looking at the film and checking out their mag rails and their different structures of civilization through technology, the first thing I noticed was, well, where are all the people? And you know, this is where the true clue comes in, is that, well, as us looking into the 21st century, I think they make the statement in Zeitgeist that technology has brought us all of this. It's brought us all of the great things that we look forward to in life, and technology is what drives humanity. And I just simply have to disagree with that. Now, I'm not a complete Luddite, although I'm accused of being somewhat of a Luddite. I find that technology is the one thing that has been used to suppress us more than anything else. It's the one thing used to control us more than anything else. It's the one thing that I truly fear in our futures is this technological advancements. What keeps us under control more than technology? I can't imagine what it would be. Is certainly being able to be watched by satellite, to be able to tell who you are by the gait of your walk. I mean, they've been able to determine who we are simply by our steps or by our very vibration, which is an interesting use of facilities like HARP to determine in an opposite way the frequency of different humans, different plant life. I had a friend who was working on satellite data to be able to determine plant life by its infrared signature. Technology is the one thing being used to control us more than anything else. All the cameras on the highways, all of the databasing, certainly the beast has been mostly electronic according to Christian paradigms, with Echelon tracking all of our phone communications, or that was the original beast I had heard of. It is technology that is imprisoning us. I'm certain of that. And it's also technology that seems to be killing off most of life on planet Earth. So first and foremost, let's address the Venus Project and its technological advancements. Now, who is going to run this technocracy? Curious. Well, they definitely say, like, our friend from Zeitgeist, who is basing his... sorry, I got lost in my notes. Jacques Fresco brings forth the Venus Project, and Jacques Fresco clearly is elucidating theosophical ideas, and also in stating that when biological technology becomes further advanced, human beings as we know them will become a modified species. If we as human beings fail to include the possibility of this development in our overall social evolution, we will witness the decline of our species. I'm curious that when you look at Jacques Fresco's new circular city, it's very hard to deny its similarities to the pictures of Atlantis. Now, Sir Manly P. Hall says the New Atlantis sets forth an ideal government of the earth. It foretells the day when in the midst of men there shall rise up a vast institution composed of philosophic elect, an order of illumined men banded together for the purposes of investigating laws of life and the mysteries of the universe. Well, so we see that it would be a set of illumined masters, philosophical kings that would rule upon this technocracy that would have us all sitting in this circular city, very much looking like Atlantis or Sir Francis Bacon's New Atlantis. Well, as you might have picked up if you caught on the earlier shows, I had recently visited the earlier experimental prototype civilization of tomorrow, known as Epcot, at Walt Disney World. And if you've been keeping up with me, you know damn well that that Walt Disney was a Freemason hired by J. Edgar Hoover to promote these ideals. So once again, we keep coming back to these concepts being put forth by Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, and Theosophy. And, of course, they seem like great solutions because they were set up in the past to bring about this new world order. And once again, it would be much easier if I were a Christian, a fundamentalist, that was able to just denounce this all as Satanism and say, look what they're doing, but I think this all has a part to play in this story. So when you walk into Disney World and you walk into Epcot, of course the first thing that you're going to notice is that they're taking your fingerprint, biometric scanning. Now, Epcot was set up as this experimental prototype civilization of tomorrow, and what it did was use predictive programming to show you what the future would entail. One of my favorite places in there was the Kodak area, where you get to spy on everyone on this high-tech surveillance gadgetry. Now, when you walk into Epcot and you've given them your fingerprint, then you're led to that big ball, the tetrahedral ball, Buckminster Fuller's dream of a geodesic dome. You get into that ball, and they start to tell you how wonderfully they have crafted civilization, and you actually get to follow the crafting of civilization throughout time, from the Phoenicians creating your language to the Greeks creating your philosophy, and on down the line as they have engineered civilization to the goals of these masters. I find it very curious as we get through this big ball of time inside of Epcot, when they ask you to tell them what your ideal vacation would be, where you come from, and then they ask you to smile and take your picture. So now, on your first 10 minutes inside of this experimental prototype civilization of tomorrow, you have given them your fingerprint, your place of living, and your facial recognition. So now they have your picture, your ID, and where you live. So isn't it all wonderful? I just love Disney World. Let's go there and have a great time and get our biometrics databased. And then you find that every ride inside of Disney World is sponsored by a military-industrial corporation, and we are back and to the heart of Freemasonry. Now, when you get into Disney World and you start riding on their rides, after you've been through a little bit of trauma with, say, Space Mountain, then you come off of Space Mountain, which was sponsored by RCA, who was founded by the Freemason Samuelson. Ooh, I lost his name. You'll have to go back to earlier shows to get that. And then they show you what the future is going to entail, and they show you learning on your television and having your teacher on TV. They show you your surveilled society and make you just love it. Oh, yes, I can't wait to get into the future. Well, Epcot was a large city built in Florida for the idea of creating this experimental prototype city. And now, we have Jacques Fresco coming with his Venus project, which was going to be built in Venus, Florida. And you might note that it is also going to have a theme park attached to it. How many experimental prototype civilizations or cities do we need in Florida? I find this all very curious as well. Obviously, the first one wasn't good enough, so now we're going to start with the Lucifer, oh, I mean Venus project, and try to design a new one. Well, perhaps this is all fair and good, but the problem being, once again, the human connection, the love connection. This idea of a technologically based civilization being enough to fulfill the needs of the soul and the spirit of humanity, to me, seems ludicrous. And as when I look at it, I feel this cold, icy edge of a razor. Not sure, but that's my intuition on the whole thing. So Zeitgeist Addendum promotes that money or profit is the problem, and we need to move away from such, well, conflicting goals due to profit, due to greed, and never really realizing that it is not really money that's the problem, although I've highlighted the such in the money spell, and sometimes I find my show going right along with the Luciferian agenda. So I find that we all kind of get tied up in this concept and these ideas of having a better world. And of course, why am I here in the first place? Why is it that I'm here on the radio talking with all of you at this time? Is that, well, the world's all messed up, obviously, and we need solutions. But what we're finding is that, well, we feel like time is running out, like we have just no more time to solve these problems. And of course, this is the propaganda being promoted to us, that time is running out, you have no more time, global warming's on us, and we need to come up with a solution. And, well, of course, we do. Is time running out, though? This is where I started to get into the studies of the Luciferianism, and I want to get deeper into it, but I've not had enough time to do a good study of the ideas of the Luciferians. I find them very interesting. If you were to open, say, Alice Bailey's book and start to look into it, the first thing you're going to come across is a prayer to Christ, which they call the Great Invocation. But they talk about, from the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men, may Christ return to earth. So right away, the Luciferians are immediately talking about a Christ, but this Christ of light. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. So Luciferians believe in the idea of ascended masters, the idea of illumined masters, men being able to attain the Godhead and be able to understand and bring about enlightenment on planet Earth. But you could see easily that it could be confused with Christianity. If I were not knowing better that this was a Luciferian doctrine, I would of course think Alice Bailey was a Christian. And of course, many of these leaders that we follow have been listed as Christians. Of course, many people believe that America was founded on Christian ideals, but this is demonstrably false, showing that it was the Freemasons that crafted America. Now, the very name America actually stems back to the idea of Lucifer, in that the star the Templars followed to find the Western continent was known as Murica, and this Murica was Venus, which is Lucifer. So the very name of our nation is based on Lucifer. Then if you were to look into the Luciferian ideals, you would find that, well, America's ideals are based on Luciferianism, the idea of mankind attaining a new state of philosophical height, and also being able to create and craft ingenious ideas and inventions to bring about, well, a philosophical, technologically advanced state, as put forth in Sir Francis Bacon's New Atlantis. Now, I have managed to obtain a copy of the New Atlantis Continued, which was written by R.H. Esquire, which, of course, again, is a pseudonym, and is most likely written by a Rosicrucian. But, of course, they keep themselves hidden. So we have these ideas being promoted to us, and they have all been laid out long ago and are now coming to fruition in the ideas of the New World Order and this occult agenda. We see that they're promoting to us the idea of global warming, whether true or not, because it is a perfect idea to unify all the civilizations of the world. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. Now, this is the Club of Rome in the First Global Revolution. The Club of Rome also wrote the book The Club of Rome wrote Limits to Growth, which was promoted through every college campus and statistically proves that we are killing one another, killing off the planet and therefore all life as we know it. Is this true? No, it's been proven to be false by many people. So what do the Luciferians believe? Where are they coming from, and how is this going to affect us? Well, the Luciferians absolutely believe in a cyclical nature. They believe in root races that have come and gone. They believe in the ideas of Lumeria and Atlantis, and that there have been races that have come forth and then have degenerated and died. They believe in the idea that as man reaches a heightened degeneration, that as mankind starts to tamper with the very foundation of nature, they are destroyed, such as the story of Atlantis. They believe in great catastrophes. Now, this has been something that's been bouncing around in my head because, well, I went and did the winter solstice with ceremony with the Mayans on December 21st, 2007. And they very much were also promoting the idea that starting next year, just a few short months away, there will be some major global catastrophes. And these will culminate in even more catastrophic events in the year 2012. And we have all been highlighted and made note of December 21st, 2012. Well, this also fits well right in with the theosophical movements, and we also find that within the world's 16 crucified saviors, that Quetzalcoatl is one of these dead and resurrected gods, and that the Mayans and the Druids and many other cultures have held these beliefs of a dead and resurrected god that is to bring about salvation on planet Earth. I think, personally, waiting for a savior is a very bad idea. But are we at this crux point? Are we at the nexus point? Are we at the moment where we better make a choice or die? That's what they want us to believe. But, of course, as you start to look into who's putting forth these ideas, then you constantly come back to these occult orders, the secret societies, the Club of Rome, the UN, ad infinitum. Al Gore, of course. So, now, in the externalization of the hierarchy, Alice Bailey says, the problem of money will have to be faced. The problem of the distribution of wealth, whether natural or human, will need careful handling and a compromise reached between those nations which possess unlimited resources and those who have few or none. The problem of varying forms of national government must be faced with courage and insight. The restoration, psychological, spiritual, and physical, of mankind must constitute a primary responsibility. The sense of security must be put on a firm basis, the basis of right relationship, not the basis of force. Men must feel secure because they are seeking to develop international goodwill and can trust each other, and are not therefore dependent on the strength of their armies and fleets. The New World Order will recognize that the produce of the world, the natural resources of the planet, and its riches belong to no one nation, but should be shared by all. There will be no nations under the categories of haves and others under the opposite category. A fair and properly organized distribution of the wheat, the oil, and the mineral wealth of the world will be developed, based upon the needs of each nation, upon its own internal resources, and the requirements of its people. All this will be worked out in relation to the whole. The New World Order will be founded on the recognition that all men are equal in origin and goal, but that all are at differing stages of evolutionary development. Now, this is what I found interesting with the Theosophists and the studies of Helena Blavatsky, is that they believe in these concepts of root races, of races that will come and go, and that certain races degenerate after their karmic fate. So, for them, it is easy to see that they're promoting these ideals. But what their hope seems to be is that these ideals will survive the coming cataclysm, that these ideals will be there once we have destroyed ourselves. And it's not actually ourselves, because if we're in a cyclical nature, and you can find the evidence to prove that there have been past civilizations. This is where my information becomes important, because people like Alex Jones aren't going to go back to Atlantis and Lemuria or the ideas of the Luciferians, most likely not even going to read them or study them in any way. And so therefore he can only take the zeitgeist addendum attack, well, to personal levels, if you watched his interview with the creator of Zeitgeist. God, I don't know what to do with that fella. Poor Alex, man. He's just like gone over the edge or something. I don't know. He's not hitting this. I was really interested to see what the creator of Zeitgeist was going to say. And Alex took all of it as a personal attack, and therefore turned around and just started attacking back. But we can see that there are much evidence to show that there have been great cataclysms in the past, and that it is entirely possible that Atlantis and Lemuria did exist. This, I believe, is shown through the heightened technological advancements of things like the Great Pyramids, or even the pyramids of Central and South America. We can see that the ancients looked to the even more ancient for understanding and knowledge. America has been based on this knowledge. It is based on the ideas of a new Atlantis, and these people, such as Freemasons, Theosophists, do believe in these ancient civilizations, and then the cyclical destruction of these nations due to karma. I find it all very interesting and trying to understand where we're going, because it has actually been my idea as well that we need to promote ideals that will survive the coming cataclysm, because either be it natural due to cyclical nature, due to the ideas of us entering interstellar energy clouds, or the flip of the poles, or the warming of all planets in our solar system, the coming of Planet X, or World War III, we will be looking at some catastrophe. There's no doubt in my mind that we are going to suffer some major cataclysms in the very near future. And it is my hope that through afterwards, some of this love vibe will carry on, and those of the technocracy won't survive to bring about this new Atlantis Luciferian dream, where they are the gods and we are the feudal state. Now, they do have great advantages over us little men, but yet we have a special power of intuition and the human nature, the ability of us to be able to transmit thoughts and information through our collective consciousness. Now, they have deep underground military bases, seed vaults built in Norway. They have prepared for this coming cataclysm. We have not. We can't. We have no resources. We've given them all over to these illusions we call corporations, and we've given them all over to the military-industrial complex. And so hopefully our ideas will be able to survive these coming cataclysms. Now, at the same time, when you start to look at what the UN and the Club of Rome and all these other groups trying to bring forth the idea of Gaia and of the dying of our planet, to say that nature is God and to say that nature should be supreme to mankind, this, of course, always strikes at the heart of the Christian. But this is what they are all saying, these people that are involved in the UN and in creating this new world, that climate change is the greatest threat to human civilization. Al Gore, you know, or Barack Obama, we simply must do everything we can in our power to slow down global warming before it's too late. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger, climate change should be seen as the greatest challenge to ever face mankind. Or Prince Charles, climate change makes us global citizens. We are truly all in this together. Now, this is the force they're trying to use to unite a new world order. So we must be very, very careful in how we approach this, and we must look to what is really causing all of the horrific nature of civilization. And that is these military-industrial complex corporations and the ideas of the UN and the ideas that we must face this coming cataclysm. How to do so. Okay, well, let me go grab my thoughts together. I'm getting a little disjointed, so here's a little music for you for now, and I will be right back.
All the little life forms upon this little earth multiply and die and return into rebirth. All the little children growing up in space, adding their small stories to the history of this race. Here on Earth, here on Earth.
Here on Earth, 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 here on Earth to be is heaven sent. The men see through mirrors who observe the masquerade. And we the masqueraders who believe we have it made. Who believe we have it made.
Okay, well, Alice Bailey's externalization of the hierarchy states, the New World Order must be appropriate to a world which has passed through a destructive crisis and to a humanity which is badly shattered by the experience. The New World Order must lay the foundation for a future world order which would be possible only after a time of recovery, of reconstruction, and of rebuilding. Now, if we look to our ancient past and we look to what happened, we find that there was seemingly an ancient civilization, the proof of Atlantis. According to Theosophists and many of this ilk, we find as very noteworthy in geology and the idea of, say, the lemmings running off the side of a cliff, trying to find a world that's no longer there. Or the ideas that the plant life, the botany of Eastern Europe is the same as that found in Florida. That there was a connecting link between these continents. Then the idea of the catastrophe as passed forth through Hopis and through the Mayans give us an idea that there was a great flood, a great catastrophe that occurred that wiped out civilization. And then these small remnants that were left were coming up on, say, like the Polynesian Islands or South Sea Islands, where we have these massive heads that stand and no one knows how they were put there, the Easter Island heads. But here we have a population living on an island that's unable to support them, and this is where it seems that cannibalism was first founded. In these early days after the Great Catastrophe. Now, catastrophism seems to be founded in science. It's hard to know who to trust anymore. But certainly, I've done a lot of research on these ancient civilizations, and I find them to be, worth researching anyway. But now, the idea of these races coming back out of the earth, having gone underground during the cataclysm, and then to resurface and find their world completely altered, that's when you start to get to Egypt. Because here we have this Egyptian landscape with these massive pyramids that we today could not build, and we today do not build to the standard that the pyramids were built upon. Shows that there was a high technological advancement in the ancient past. I think the Bible itself shows this in that it's numerological studies, and that words that, well, say like mother, father, the numerological numbers of mother, father equal child. And to me, this screams of high technology, not of a divinely scripted work, but that they had, well, what we would consider like computer data. And only now that we have computers can we start to decipher what is known as the Bible code. So when we start looking into this idea of the New World Order coming up out of the catastrophe, this is what I see coming from our ancient past in the priest of Atlantis. Now, Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Freemason and founder of the Philosophical Research Society, states that the ceremonial magicians of the ancient Atlanteans then did rule in Egypt and were able to use their advanced knowledge to subjugate the people and be known as gods. I believe that they are intending to do this again. Now, when we start to look into the technological advancements of the 21st century and their earthquake-creating, generating devices and their, CERN trying to bust into other dimensions while creating earthquakes when they turned it on, to the idea of the grid that's able to generate holograms, and the ability to generate this false Armageddon, this apocalypse from nowhere, or generated through technology. It seems to me that they do want to bring about another catastrophe, and then therefore survive and rise to the surface. These same concepts can be thrown into the ideas of, like, Stonehenge and, again, the Great Pyramids and the other great structures, massive structures of old, the megalithic structures that survived the last catastrophe, were able to provide a foundation for the new ceremonial magicians to bring about their world order. So now we've got the Georgia Guidestones that were placed there by R.C. Christian, which is, of course, a allusion to Christian Rosenkreutz, the mythological founder of the Rosicrucians. These megalithic stones standing there with their guidelines for the new civilization seem to be set up in order to survive a coming global catastrophe. They are written in 8 different languages, much like the Rosetta Stone found in Egypt, that will be able to be deciphered in the aftermath. So when we start to look at these ideas like the Venus Project, which you should be calling the Lucifer Project by now, you'll see that they have outlined an idea that they hope will survive the coming cataclysm. They are stockpiling and holding these knowledge and technologies below ground and not giving them to mankind for the further benefit of freedom. Now, we could all be free, and what does that really mean? I think that that's my place in this whole story, because I have been a free man. I have been traveling this earth on my own, just miraculous nature. And I know what it is to be free, and therefore I can see more than most what it is to not be free. And so the idea of being able to elect Obama or McCain, that is not freedom. True freedom comes with peace and serenity. True freedom comes from miraculous nature of humanity and of the universe itself. Now, I cannot claim to be an agnostic, because I do believe in a God. I do have a faith in this miraculous nature, because I've been shown it over and over again throughout life. And only when people are willing to give up these binds, these belief systems, and just go ahead and walk the earth and see that the universe is alive and working for our true benefit, then you will start to see what true freedom is. But if you can only judge freedom by the ideas being brought forth by the Freemasons, the Theosophists, the Rosicrucians, then you're not going to know what true liberty really is. Now, I have many works, many books by these Luciferians, and most of us have to agree that we agree with a lot of what they have to say. This is the reason Zeitgeist is being promoted so heavily, although I still believe that because they have the Theosophists in their pocket, they get a little extra added boost in their referrals, which makes me feel a little better. But the ideals of these Luciferians does seem to hit home with us, because we are all trying to find answers to these problems that we see facing us. But what we have begun to realize now over and over again is the idea of the Hegelian dialectic, and that both sides are the same, that we have a force that is covering both sides of the problem. Let's jump to Naomi Wolf real fast. Now, of course, she is Well, was married to the speechwriter of Bill Clinton. She is a graduate of Oxford. She is a Rhodes Scholar, and therefore must be following the same pattern as put forth by the League of the Club of Rome, and the ideas brought forth from Limits to Growth. The ideas that we need to limit the population, as stated by the Guidestones, that we need to control reproduction wisely, which is also in the Guidestones, and many of these other ideas coming straight out of Naomi Wolf's studies, but not out of her mouth. But what she is offering us is the problem, and then we will be offered the solution. Now, obviously, George W. Bush was put into office to make us all angry, to make the world angry. And on that same note, the ideas being brought forth by MTV, Walt Disney, and many of these other evil corporations are to make us all Satanists, to make us all evil entities on planet Earth. And by Satanist, I mean adversarial forces. We have been brought to a height of materialism that's almost sickening, and the world is seeing us as such. Of course, most of us that are not Paris Hilton, most of us that are just trying to make our way through this existence, do not have this same nature, but yet this is what's being promoted to the rest of the world as Americanism, and what is also being promoted to us as Americanism, so that we are all striving to be Paris Hilton. Maybe not her exactly, but the concept of being above and beyond everyone else, this idea of being a materialistic guru. We are being taught these ideals, and they are being brought forth, and therefore now America is seen as the great Satan, just as it's supposed to be, so that when we do have, say, World War III, then it can be easily blamed on those that were given freedom. But of course, we have never been given freedom. We have been guided by this box in our living rooms. We have been guided by elusive leaders that try to pretend to be helping the situation, but all of them can be easily tracked back to the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, the UN, and this propagation of an evil society. We are not evil, and that is my message to you constantly, is that humanity is not the evil factor in this. We are guided to evil, but most of us are not evil in our hearts, and I find that some of the ideas put forth by, say, Zeitgeist, that it is not human nature but human behavior, that nurture is one of the main solutions to all this, I would have to agree that we are not brought into this world evil, that we are then conditioned into this evil nature. I think that most children are loving creatures. Although, maybe a little violent. But that could be Disney and the Cartoon Network once again, who knows. We are conditioned to this idea of violence, competitiveness. But is it really our solution to turn ourselves over to a technological society that will control every faction of your existence? No. You know, the true system of humanity that would work as one in which trust was the foundation, and that trust in humanity. But it's easy to believe that humans aren't good because we have constantly been brought forth into this conditioning of greed, of competition, and the ability for us to be divided. So then whenever someone starts to bring about ideas of socialism, it is feared by many, but that is because this socialism would not be just a natural state of humanity, but one controlled by a hierarchy of illumined masters. All right. Well, so the idea of natural law is one that is very much discredited by Christians and patriots alike. Now, this idea of the Third World War, I think, should be covered just a little bit, because when we're looking at Luciferianism and the ideas of Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, and the Theosophists, we must jump, of course, to Albert Pike, who also states Lucifer is God. Now, the idea is that as I was studying last night, the idea is the Lucifer being God is not really correct. From what I understand from Madame Blavatsky is that Lucifer is this light of intelligence, and that Lucifer then therefore is both God and Satan. And it is what mankind does with this intelligent management of this light that is good or evil, and therefore Satan is God, and God is Satan, or Lucifer is intelligence. I seem to have lost my notes here. Okay, the idea of the Third World War. Now, of course, this was written back in the late 1700s, and is written by a Luciferian known as Albert Pike, who is a grand sovereign commander of the Scottish Rite Freemasons. And he does have a statue there in Washington, D.C. So the Third World War, according to Albert Pike, must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionist and the leaders of the Islamic world. Now we see that being brought to light with these ideas of Israel and Iran. This obviously is going right along with the plan of getting the Zionist and the Islamic world to fight one another through Illuminati means. Now we can follow this same type of instigation through World War I, World War II, where Nazism and Zionism were fighting. But I'm focusing on World War III. So he says the war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and the political Zionists, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. So we'll have to see. This seems to be in the works. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. And that's pretty much where we are today, are we not? You know, trillions of dollars going into the war, and all of us divided on what we should do and how this should be handled, and we are definitely physically and morally and spiritually exhausted. I must agree with that. So at this point, Albert Pike states, we shall unleash the nihilist and the atheist, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which, in all its horror, will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery and the most bloody turmoil. Well, we can definitely see this coming to fruition, and the fight between the atheists and the Christians, and the ideas of Zeitgeist Addendum, that religion is the problem. I don't agree with this. I have no problem with Christians, Muslims, any of them. I have no problem with any individual. And now I do have problems with religion stifling intelligence, which is one of the things that the Luciferians promote, is that religion keeps you willfully ignorant. And I must agree with this. I was in college, and the Christians got to skip out on any studies that had to do with Hinduism, Muslim, or any other faith. And just got to sit back while the rest of us had to study. Of course, I wasn't too upset about what we had to study. We were studying the Tao of Physics, and in there, you might start to realize, once again from Fritra Kapraf, that our ancient knowledge is more advanced than we believe at this time. But so, a social cataclysm between the atheists and the nihilists, this is definitely coming to fruition. We see people losing all faith in the state, all faith in the system, and then at the same time having nothing to turn to because all of the religions and faith-based systems are being eradicated intellectually. And it's easy to see this. But more confusing to me is why they would attack Christianity more than any other. And really, I do feel that this does have to do with the fact that Christianity does not believe in a coming world teacher or world. They do not allow adeptship or the idea of illumined masters, whereas most of the other religions will allow for this. So Pike goes on to say, then everywhere the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization in the multitude, disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in the public view. This manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. So, once again, always I must go back to why they are so anti-Christian, and sometimes I wonder if I need to start looking and becoming more Christian. But when I talk to Christians, I feel that they don't have the answer either. Certainly, Christianity has brought about some greater atrocities than even, say, Hitler. So this Third World War seems to be well on the way and is to bring about a major catastrophe in which, Freemason Albert Pike believes will bring about the furthering of the true Luciferian agenda. So we will have to wait and see. My hope is that when this does all come to fruition, that you will bind together against all of these type of ideologies, but yet once again this falls right into the Luciferian agenda, and I find it difficult to discern which path to take, if any. Personally, I feel that we do have guardian angels, we do have a hierarchy of spirits, as the Luciferians promote, that will lead us forth into the new world. So hopefully this has given you some insight. I know it was disjointed. I definitely need to keep digging deeper and deeper into these ideas so that we can come to a more discernment on what's going on. But personally, I feel that the true hope is in humanity, loving one another and sticking together, letting these ideologies not separate us, but doesn't mean you have to let them go. We can all have our own faiths and still get together as individuals. We are all loving creatures. I know this for a fact because I've met so many of you from all parts of the world, and I have no problem with anyone except for these that we call our leaders, those that are in power and leading us astray. So please tune in next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Revere Radio Network, the home of free speech. Also, the Freeman Perspective will be back online here very shortly. I've been having some technical difficulties in getting that onto the web. So the new show will be coming to you. And once again, love to you all. And just keep your hearts happy, keep loving one another, and realize that we are in for a shitstorm, and we are going to have to pull together to survive this. We are going to have to turn away from our individual belief systems without eradicating them, but using them to love one another. So until next week, have a great, interesting time. That old Chinese curse. See you next time.